Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the EIM Governing Body General Session. All phone participants are in a listen-only mode during today's call. Later, there'll be an opportunity for your questions and instructions will be given at that time. If you should need assistance during today's call, please press star then zero on your phone keypad and a specialist will assist you offline. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I'd now like to turn the conference over to Roger Cullinton. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning, governing body and members and folks attending the meeting. Let me go ahead and take roll. Chair Howe?
Here.
Vice Chair Fong?
Here.
Member Linville?
Here.
Member Prescott?
Here.
And Member Schmidt?
Here.
Excellent. We have all here in a quorum.
Thank you, Roger, and welcome to our EIM governing body meeting today on June 21st. Our first item is to open it up for public comment. Is there anyone here in the audience or on the phone that has comments to make? Is there anyone on the phone?
If you have a comment on the phone, please press star then one. We have no comments from the phone.
Okay, thank you very much. We will move on now to the decision on the EIM governing body slate, and Stacy, I think we'll turn that over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Howe and governing body members. I'm pleased today to bring to you an item that looks to bring you a slate of nominees for the two positions for the EIM governing body. On the phone, we have Jennifer Gardner with the nominating committee, who will walk you through a presentation. But I also wanted to thank Peter Colucci from the ISO and Jennifer Rotz, who helped coordinate all of the activities of the nominating committee. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jennifer.
Wonderful. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you fine, Jennifer.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, Stacey, for that introduction. And hello, everyone. I want to apologize for not being able to be there in person. I had a pre-existing work commitment here in Colorado this week that prevented me from being there. And as you might be able to tell from my voice, I'm a little sick, so it's probably in the best interest of everyone there that I'm not there in person. But I do want to thank you for the opportunity to present the recommendations from the EIM nominating committee to you today. So if we could go to the next slide, please. So this should be slide 2, the selection policy for the EIM governing body. I think that most of you are very well aware of the selection policy, but this is just more of a refresher to make sure that we're all on the same page. We know that it's a 5-member body that has delegated authority from the ISO Board of Governors, and that delegated authority is over the market rules of the Western Energy Imbalance Market. The selection process was actually proposed back in 2015 by a stakeholder group known as the EIM Transitional Committee. And that resulting policy was approved by the ISO Board of Governors in December of that same year. The policy does provide for the formation of another stakeholder-based committee, this time the nominating committee, and that committee has the authority to identify qualified candidates for selection to the EIM governing body. Next slide, please. So on slide 3, what I have here is our 8 stakeholder sectors on the left and the current representatives there on the right. You will notice that there are stars next to the first 5 stakeholder sectors. The star simply indicates that those sectors do have a voting role on the nominating committee versus a non-voting role. This voting versus non-voting role distinction is provided for in the selection policy for the EIM governing body. But I can tell you from experience, I've been on the nominating committee for 3 years now. This really hasn't been necessary. This committee really does operate via consensus. And so we really haven't had to resort to the voting versus non-voting distinction in practice. So next slide, please. This slide will just be a review of the selection process, just so folks can be more familiar with the process that the nominating committee actually goes through in making its final decisions. if we could start clicking through. I think this is an animated slide. So the first step of the selection process is, of course, the corporate secretary has to ensure that our nominating committee is fully staffed. Each stakeholder sector is permitted pursuant to the selection policy to develop their own procedure for identifying and selecting representatives on the nominating committee. Representatives can serve terms as long as they wish, but when they do choose to step down, they do need to have a process in place for identifying a replacement. So if we could go to the next box there. The next step is that the nominating committee, of course, needs to begin convening to start the process of determining whether we need additional candidates through a search firm process. So if we could go to the next box. I think a good example of the process that the nominating committee uses and the different paths this can take is the fact that as an existing member, if your term comes up, you have the option of being reconsidered for another term. Now, per the selection policy, you're only able to serve 3 terms total, but you, of course, may choose to not be reconsidered for another term. And in those situations, if an existing member wants to be reconsidered, we as a nominating committee have the ability to renominate them for a second or third term. Now, if they don't wish to be reconsidered and they choose to step down, we do need to engage a search firm to identify additional qualified candidates for consideration, which is in fact what we did this year. So we could go to the next box and the next one. Per the selection policy, at least 2 qualified candidates need to be identified for each open seat. And the next one, please. The nominating committee must interview the sitting member and the qualified candidates. The nominating committee must hold deliberations. And of course, the nominating committee must reach final consensus on a slate of candidates. If you go to the next box, please, they must reach consensus no later than 30 days before the expiration of the current member's terms. And of course, those terms expire on June 30th. And the next one, please. And I already said this, we are required to nominate 1 candidate for each opening. And the next box, please. This shows that the EIM governing body ultimately has the authority to either approve or deny our final slate. The governing body cannot simply say yes to 1 candidate and no to another. They must either approve or deny the final slate in its entirety. And if we could go to the next slide, please. So here on slide 5, I already stated this on a previous slide, but I did want to reemphasize that this committee, the nominating committee, is really consensus-driven in all of its deliberations. In the 3 years that I've been on the nominating committee, I have not really seen a situation in which we had to look at the voting versus non-voting distinction in our decision-making, because we were always able to reach common ground in our decisions, which I think says a lot about the collaborative nature of this nominating committee and, of course, the wonderful people that are on the nominating committee. On June 1st, we went through our process with our search firm, we did come to consensus on 2 candidates, which we are presenting for approval by the EIM governing body here today. These 2 candidates, if approved, would have 3-year terms. Those terms would begin on July 1 of this year, and they would end on June 30th in 2021. Our 2 candidates are Carl Winville and Travis Kubula. Carl Winville is, of course, being nominated for reappointment. Member Winville has so far performed excellent service on the EIM governing body, and the nominating committee was in consensus that we would like to see Member Winville continue on a second term with the governing body. Member Winville brings a great breadth of expertise in terms of his regulatory experience and, of course, his technical expertise is very valuable to the governing body. Travis Kubula is being nominated for appointment. I think many folks know Travis. He is a commissioner in Montana. Mr. Kubula brings a great deal of regulatory experience as well, similar to Member Linville. But also what's important about Mr. Kubula is that because he hails from Montana, he brings important geographic diversity to the EIM governing body, which of course is one of the criteria that we are supposed to take into account when creating and forming the governing body. So the next slide, please. This is my final slide, and this is really just a reminder in terms of the process that's used for approving the final slate, and it's a little bit repetitive because I've already said a few of these things before, but I just wanted to reiterate that the EIM nominating committee's final slate is, of course, subject to approval by the EIM governing body in an open meeting, and of course, that is the reason why we are having this meeting today. And just again as a reminder, pursuant to the Charter for EIM Governance, and of course, except for those initial terms of the initial members of the governing body, which were staggered, members of the EIM governing body going forward serve 3-year terms and of course can only serve a maximum of 3 terms in all. So I will end there, and what I would like to do is, of course, open it up to any questions for me, if there are questions regarding the process that the nominating committee used, and of course, if there are any deliberations as needed by the EIM governing body. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you, Jennifer. Before we start with discussions, Member Lenville has expressed his desire to step out of the room during our discussion, so we'll allow him to do that. And then, are there any questions for Jennifer Gardner?
Ladies and gentlemen on the phone, if you have a question, please press star then one on your phone keypad.
So I will assume there are no questions on the phone for Jennifer.
We have no questions at this time.
Thank you. Here in the audience, any questions for Jennifer? Okay, there are no questions here in the audience. Again, thank you very much, Jennifer, for the excellent overview of the process that you've gone through. We'll open it up now for discussion. I'm going to first ask if there is any public comment on the slate, either here in the audience or on the phone.
And once again, if you have a comment on the phone, press star then one. We have no comments on the phone at this time.
Okay, thank you, and we have no comments here in the room as well. So I'll open it up to my colleagues for discussion, and I'd like to start with Vice Chair Fong, who served as the governing body's member to the nominating committee.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair Howe. Well, it might be a little premature, but I would like to, for making it this far, congratulate both Dr. Lenville and Travis Kavula. And I want to say this. For those of us who have lived through this process, we understand that it's a fairly significant effort. And in light of that, I just want to recognize all of the members of the nominating committee, all of their sector participants, because they did involve their sector participants, excuse me, Tom Lindquist, who was our recruiter, and his team, who spent significant time on this as well, Jennifer Rotz and Peter Colusi, and also Roger Collington and Greg Fisher, for all of their efforts. I also want to recognize the different folks out in the industry who expressed an interest or perhaps just a curiosity about being on the governing body, and thank them very much for even looking at us. And I know, lastly, that I speak for everyone when I say thank you to Jennifer Gardner for stepping up to lead us. It really was herding cats sometimes, but to lead us through this process to where we are today. So thank you so much, Jennifer. With that
thank
said, I would say that we did spend quality time interviewing candidates and discussing the merits and what we need as a governing body to round us out. And the slate you see before you today reflects those discussions.
Thank you, Member Fong. Member Prescott.
Thanks, Doug. Just a couple of points to make. I want to add my thanks to the nominating committee, and in particular to the leadership of Jennifer Gardner. Not being directly involved in it, I just assumed it went very smoothly and was lots of fun. But these things typically take a lot more time than you anticipate. So thanks to you and your team for taking the time. You know, I think the slate that has been presented is really based on the collective wisdom of all the stakeholders, and I'm pleased that the process is set up to get that input. I think that is so important for us to maintain independence and make sure that everybody has a say in that process. So I think from that perspective, it worked. And it does look like the slate that we're presented with today follows the tenets of the charter and the selection process that we have in place as to the quality, the qualifications, and again, the independence that we're seeking. So, you know, with that, I am pleased with the slate being presented, and you know, look forward to any more discussion we have on this.
Member Schmidt. No, that's okay. Go ahead.
So I, too, am going to pile on the thank yous here and thank the nominating committee, Jennifer, for your leadership within the nominating committee, but also Val as our representative and acting as a liaison for us to keep us apprised of how the process was moving forward. This is the first time we've been in the situation where we are actually bringing on a new person to the EIM governing body. And so there are a lot of firsts that we continue to experience as a governing body, and really appreciate how you were keeping us informed. And we do know that there was a great deal of work that was being done, not just by the nominating committee, you as a member, but also by the ISO staff. And we just want to thank them for all the work and coordination and making sure that everything was able to be done within the time frame, which was a very, very short time frame to be putting up two candidates here. But I also would like to thank Tom Lindquist, too. He was very involved with seating us originally, and I know with his new organization, Leadership Lyceum, that they did a lot of heavy lifting, bringing an abundance of riches of candidates to the process. And I think that as a result, the nominating committee did have to spend a lot of time, you know, picking the best of the best. And so I want to thank everyone, including the candidates, as you did, Val. That's very, very important. And the other thing is that, John mentioned, that this is really a stakeholder-driven process. And so there's a great deal of deference that the stakeholders have spoken and have put forward to candidates. And when I looked at the slate and felt I still needed to do a bit of due diligence on my own, I started looking at the slate of the candidates and then thinking about the process a little bit more. And I wanted to talk about the slate of candidates first, because I do believe that we have in front of us two outstanding candidates for the EIM governing body. The first one I'll speak about, Carl. I think that his letter, for anyone who doesn't know Carl very well, the letter that he put forward was incredibly insightful, very thoughtful, and really, I think, it explains where the evolution of the EIM governing body is going. And I think that that insight and that intelligence is one of the fabulous things about Carl that he brings here. And he brings a lot of diversity to our group. And I'm really, really pleased to see that he is being re-nominated from the nominating committee. So that to me was a really pleasant outcome. And then Commissioner Krivula, excuse me, you know, the issue there at first, when I first saw that a sitting commissioner was being put onto the slate, it gave me pause. And in talking with a few stakeholders out there, I think of some other people had their eyes raised upon it. But at the end of the day, when you look at the commissioner's background and experience, he's got extensive background in the energy industry. He's been a state commissioner for the last 8 years. He has sat on boards, which is very important when you are going onto a board like this, that you do have previous board experience, and he has extensive board experience. He has been in leadership with National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissioners at NARUC, and he was the president of that organization. So he not only brings, I think, a body of technical knowledge, market knowledge, energy industry knowledge, but he also brings, I think, really good, important leadership capabilities to the governing body. And with that, and with the vetting through the nominating committee, I'm here to support both of these candidates, again, with great deference to the stakeholders. But the question to me then comes back to process. And I think, again, as we're going through this the first time, and the nominating committee is going through this the first time, We're going to be doing an evaluation next year on the whole EIM governing body as per our charter. And I do think that there's probably some areas now that we have gone through this the first time that we could probably put a little bit more thought into how are we proceeding. And I'd really put this back to the stakeholders, not just the nominating committee, but all stakeholders. And that is looking at, you know, one of the issues is that, you know, with the sitting commissioner, and again, I have no concerns here at all with Commissioner Kabula, but I do have concerns that there regarding your current employment, whether you're a sitting commissioner, whether you're an executive with an investor-owned utility, a municipal, a co-op, or a G&T, however that is, I think that that is something that, and you're employed in the West, I do think that there's something there that we probably could maybe get a little bit tighter around about what guidelines we would want to have in place, perhaps tightening it up or perhaps even loosening it up. I don't know. I would, again, defer to stakeholders and want to get their input into it. But I do think that that is something that we should really be careful about, because as we go into this, this is a governing body that has fiduciary responsibilities to not only the EIM market and all of the market participants, but we also have fiduciary responsibilities to the California ISO. And so I just want us to make sure that we're being really careful as we go forward. So that's one area of I wouldn't say necessarily improvement, but one area of discussion I'd like to see in the reevaluation coming forward. The other issue is regarding these the calendaring, I'm very sensitive to. I feel that the nominating committee, not only this year but also last year, were really under the gun trying to get a slate of candidates to us in a very short period of time. And I think that, you know, our terms were set up based to start and end based on when we first started, which was June of 2016. There might be some value of going to changing the terms so that they actually end over a calendar year, so that we give the nominating committee more time and room and take it out of the spring when, quite frankly, we have members joining and so everyone's, you know, has a lot to do anyway. But maybe looking at changing that schedule, and so that would be another process improvement I would like to see in the reevaluation that gets conducted next year, and ask for more input on that. But like I said, I think that these two candidates are outstanding. I want to thank again everyone for participating in it, and I really look forward to continuing to have Carl on our governing body, but also really look forward to welcoming Commissioner Kabula also to the governing body. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine, for those very insightful and I think on topic, on point comments. I just have a couple short comments and a question. I'll lead with a question, and I'm going to ask this to you, Roger, because Christine brought the subject up. It's a bit out of the ordinary for a sitting commissioner to be named to an energy market board. So can you just explain perhaps the and put us all at ease about whether or not a conflict of interest could arise here?
Well, we did provide an analysis for the governing body as to the conflict review, and it was our opinion based on the review that there wouldn't be the risk of a conflict, and I'm actually pulling that up now to refresh myself on that. But I can't at this point confirm that we have reviewed the conflicts and that he has 6 months of overlapping service, and we believe that there would not be a likely conflict, that the Montana PSC is not a market participant or a stakeholder of the ISO in his role. Mr. Kabula will not be in the position of having to decide any issue related to the Western EIM with the Montana PSC. So there's currently no utility under the Montana PSC's jurisdiction that, as we understand it, intends to join the EIM or in the foreseeable future intends to do so. That being said, Mr. Kabula would be advised that if such an issue came before him at the PSC, that he would have to recuse himself on that issue.
Thank you, Roger. I thought that it would be important for anyone in the audience, anyone on the phone, and for us to be reminded that this was looked at closely. And while it may not be exactly ordinary for a sitting commissioner to be on an energy board, I, for one, am honored that someone as as notable and as experienced in the energy industry has been nominated to fill the seat that I'm vacating. With that, we go to a motion, I think.
Unless there's anything else from the governing body, I can go ahead and read our motion. Move that the Energy and Balance Market Governing Body approves a slate that includes reappointment of Carl Linville and appointment of Travis Cavula to the Energy and Balance Market Governing Body for terms beginning July 1, 2018 and ending June 30, 2021.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, members. And let me just take this moment, since you're rolling off, Doug, and I'm sure you'll get lots of thank yous, but let me personally and publicly thank you for your service. It's been a pleasure working with you. I appreciate your insight and your inquisitiveness, which keeps us on our toes, but we need that, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Roger. I appreciate it. We have one more thing to do, though, in this meeting. Before we do that, let us congratulate Member Linville, who comes back into the room and three more years of imprisonment. We have one more thing to do, and at this end of June meeting, we have historically, at least in the short history that we've existed, also elected the governing body chair and vice chair for the upcoming term starting on July 1st. So to do that, I want to open it up to discussion or nominations. Member Prescott.
First of all, I want to also thank you, Doug, for your leadership. Really do appreciate it. And that brings me to the point of understanding how important the leadership is for this organization. It's not just a title. I think there's a lot of effort that goes into it. So thank you for your service, and Christine, thank you for your time. So it's with that background that I would like to nominate Valerie Fong as our next chair and Carl Linville as the vice chair to be effective July 1st of this year.
So, Member Fong has been nominated as chair, Member Linville nominated as vice chair. Are there any other nominations? There are no other nominations. Is there discussion? No discussion.
If I could, I just would say, again, Carl, welcome back to the room. But also, I think that just to have you back in the fold and knowing that you would be here for another 3 years is very, very important. And, Doug, I will say that you once again have set the bar very high as a chair, and Val as vice chair. And so, Carl, as you go in to fill her shoes, good luck with that. And Val, also, again, I think you both are going to be phenomenal in our leadership, and I look forward to working with both of you in that capacity. So thank you.
Thank you, Member Schmidt. Any other discussion? Can we go to a motion?
With that, move that the EIM Governing Body elects Valerie Fong to serve as chair of the EIM Governing Body pursuant to Section 3.3 of the Charter for Energy and Balance Market Governance, effective July 1, 2018, until June 30, 2019, or until such time thereafter as a successor is elected. And move that the EIM Governing Body elects Carl Linville to serve as vice chair of the EIM Governing Body, effective July 1, 2018, to June 30th, 2019, or until such time thereafter as a successor is elected, whose role will include substituting for the chair when the chair is unable to fulfill her duties due to conflicts, absence, or unforeseen reasons, and who will be designated as the EIM Governing Body representative to the nominating committee.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Excellent. Thank you. Congratulations, Chair Fong and Vice Chair Linville.
So,
Chair,
buckle up. It's going to be another year for you.
If I could just say thank you to my colleagues for entrusting me with this huge responsibility. It is tough to follow in Doug's footsteps, who had to follow in Christine's footsteps. Doug, we will miss you, and I, too, thank you for everything that you've done to help us move along in our growth here.
Thank you.
Chair Howe, if I may. We just, at the ISO, really wanted to extend our thank you to your service as an EIM governing body member since the inception, and you have been a tremendous help as we navigated the first years of the EIM governing body, and your passion for this issue and your knowledge of the industry and the regulatory processes has been very helpful, and we just can't thank you enough. You know, membership of this body, as was just discussed, is based on a set of experience and expertise and diversity, and you brought such you were a great fit for this body in that you had the regulatory experience. You also had a great knowledge of the dynamics in the West and the Southwest in particular, and it was invaluable to our work. You've accomplished a lot in your term here, and we appreciate all the time and the effort that you gave through this. And personally, I want to thank you for the great conversations we had on strategy and the dynamics in the West. So with that, we have, I think Steve wanted to say some words, and we have a small gift for you.
Oh boy. I don't do well with this stuff, you know. Kid from Kansas, I don't do this very well. Oh, finally.
Chair Howe, if I could add just one moment. I apologize. I know these things can be a bit uncomfortable, but I think you're well deserving of this. And I want to add my thanks as well on behalf of the ISO and certainly the executive team here. As I've told you, I think, you know, being part of the inaugural group of the governing body member, you were exactly what we needed. Your steady leadership, your thoughtful wisdom, the West-wide respect that you have, and your willingness to take a leap of faith on this new endeavor, they're much appreciated. This last year you served as the chair. This is the second year of a still evolving organization or governing body, and you led it with class and distinction. We will ever be in your debt to you for your integrity, for your selflessness, for your guiding hand. Thank you, Chuck. Chair Howe.
Well, thank you, Steve. Okay, well, it's my turn. We've still got a little bit of time, but it's certainly been my honor to serve on the inaugural governing body here, and it's been a huge honor that my esteemed colleagues here with me today have had the faith and confidence in me to be the chair of this organization for the past year, so I thank you for that confidence. Finally, it's been an honor and a pleasure for me to work with the ISO staff and management. Steve, Stacy, Keith, Mark, Petar, Roger, and all of your staffs, the Board of Governors, Dave, Angelina, Ash, Richard, and Mark have been nothing but supportive of what we've been trying to do here. Last and not least, certainly not least, to Jennifer Rotz and Peter Colucci for all of the effort that they put into this to actually make this all happen in a pretty neat and orderly way. It's sometimes a thankless job, but they do it perfectly. So I want to thank you all for your thanks. Yes, it makes me terribly uncomfortable, but okay, I'll suffer it a little bit here. Thank you again for this, and I will miss you, and I'm not going away, so, you know, Santa Fe is a good place to come and visit, so please do. With that, if there is any other comment or business, there is none, so thank you all. We're adjourned.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using AT&T teleconference. You may now disconnect.